Okay, welcome everyone on Turfs Up Radio to Unleash Your Courage. Those of you watching in the Facebook group, yes, make a comment. Let us know that you're here. So we can't tell who they are because then they haven't registered with StreamYard. If you register with StreamYard, then we can see who you are on Facebook. But hopefully we'll get that. I'll get some screenshots and we can see who it is that's telling us hello. Otherwise, in your comment, you have to tell us, hi, it's me that I'm here. So thank you if you're joining us live on Facebook or on Turfs Up Radio. I have my incredible friend Chelsea with me today and so excited. Oh, could not be more excited, even though I couldn't get my music going today. That's okay. Awesome. So Chelsea, I was like, where do we begin? Sometimes I'm like, hey, tell me your story. So, and we're going to weave in her story and my story and our stories all together. So I'm going to let you go first and tell us the story of, start the story of us and you, all that.
Yeah. So I was, honestly, I was born into Mary Kay. And I'm saying I was born into Mary Kay because my mom literally started with the company before I was born, which caused me to pretty much always know every single person that was a part of our little Mary Kay world. So when I was pretty new on the scene, choosing to do it as a career myself, I showed up to what is this retreat thing that we do in the fall. And there was this woman there who I didn't know. And it's not like there wouldn't be people there that I didn't know, but there wouldn't be people there that were big achievers that I didn't know. So there was this like new person, new on the scene, achieving all the things, like top of all the things. I'm a wildly competitive person. So I think that, you know, not such an includer person in me was like, who is this person? And how do I get to know them? Because I'm not sure what they're doing, but I think that I should probably be doing whatever it is that they're doing. And I remember they had like called her up to the front several times because there was a ton of stuff that she was achieving. And then we were in a very specific class for our rank. And I was sitting in this seat and my friend was sitting beside me and Ange was sitting right behind that person. And I just like, I could still in my head look back and see her. And I remember thinking, who is this person that is winning and achieving all the things, who obviously doesn't know anybody else because no one is sitting by her? She's going to be my friend. Like, she doesn't even have a choice. This is going to happen. And then we were on an elevator together. And I think, I don't even remember the elevator part. You remember the elevator part, but I do remember on the very last morning on a Sunday morning, like I was out in the hallway getting some coffee and she was getting probably coffee or whatever, who knows. At the time, she was probably just like putting more ice in her Diet Pepsi, honestly. And I like literally walked up next to her and I just remember giving her my card. We're going to be friends. We're going to be power partners. This is how this is going to work. I drove home probably 4 hours away. She drove home at the time, probably 3-4 hours away, the opposite ways. And I text her the moment that I got home. And that was that. And pretty much from that moment, we texted each other 87 million moments of the day, every single day, and became power partners in not just that career in that season, but then also in life.
Yes. So, yeah. And I love the story of how it happened. And I was in a much more blocked off time of my life, like not open to meeting new people. So thank goodness you got through to me. I remember looking at you like, okay, we're going to be friends.
Yeah, too pleasantly persistent for you to resist. Yeah,
pleasantly persistent. I love it. But yeah, you were just placed in my life at the right time as I was going through one of the first seasons of upheaval and change. And I didn't really know. That was my very first Mary Kay conference, brand new to Mary Kay. I didn't even know what I was doing or what I was supposed to be chasing or what was going on. Yeah. And like you said, we just linked arms as power partners. That's what we called each other. And it was, I had never really had one. And it was powerful. Like you taught me the ropes of what I was supposed to do, put new goals in front of me. And I know we did that for each other. And, just like, let's chase wins together. Make each other better, of always suggesting, you know, things that worked and talking about things that worked, things that didn't work, cheering for each other's success, and immediately like being there for me in the moments of going through first divorce and trauma. And so that's when we met Claire back then. Kids were little.
Little. They were 7 and 8.
Yeah, they were
so. I remember the first Christmas card that I got, and they were like children, and now they're fully functioning adults, and it's crazy. But I always think back to that season, and you know, I know for you, it was like, I'd be like, well, you should do this, and then you should do this, and you should do this. And it's like, you would crush that goal, and I'd be like, how about this? And then you would crush that. For me, the biggest thing I remember that you would always do for me that mattered the most to me was I would be like, this is the goal that I would love to do. And this would be at like midnight. We'd be having this conversation at midnight. And then I would wake up in the morning and there were like 80 people that had texted me how they were so excited that I was doing this goal. And I'm like, she just blasted my goals to the whole world. And I have to do what I say I'm going to do. So now I have to do this. I don't have a choice because she, while I slept, would have blasted it into the whole world. And now everybody knows. And so I think that was just the way that you always called greatness out of me, was like, you knew that if you put me on blast, that there's no way that I would back down.
Oh yeah. Called you out, called you out and told the world, and was like, it's not a secret anymore. It's not a secret anymore. Here's your goal. We told it to the world. There's no more trying. I remember a quote we both used a lot back then of like, if you want something badly enough, you will find a way. Otherwise you will make an excuse. And it's much harder to make an excuse when we told the world.
Yeah. That was one thing. I don't think either one of us ever entertained the idea of neither one of us ever entertained the idea of either being a victim or having excuses, because it was like, there just was no option. Like it's like, oh, well, we're doing it. And yeah. Yeah. No matter what it was, no matter what was going on, and that was like a season where it's like, you were going through the divorce, you were moving. My brother had cancer and was literally like living in a hospital for a year. And so I feel like it was so wonderful that we got brought together in such a season of high turbulence for the both of us, that when one was up, the other was down, and we were always like helping each other stay up.
Yeah. And how important that was, just to have that person that you really like locked arms with and are like, mm-hmm. here, let's go. So there was no spiraling down. Like you said, there was no victim, and it's like, here we are and we're achieving these things together. So if you haven't, on Facebook, I posted a fun reel of different moments in our Mary Kay lives. We got to travel around the country together, going to things that were fun in fun cities, and earned our pink Cadillacs together. So we have a picture in there of, you know, we did the big things together and weren't going to like leave the other person. Like, we wanted to be in all these things and achieve the things together. So there's a fun picture of us with Whitney and our pink Cadillacs, and it was a fun season.
That's really, yeah. I mean, it's like I think people underestimate how vital it is. Like, you know, they say like you become like those that you hang around, and in that season in our jobs, it was so prevalent on becoming like those you hang around, because your car would literally become pink. Yeah.
And we'll kind of talk more about the importance of, I think, power partner and who's in your green room and the vulnerability part of it that we learned, because I used to think it was about the people that you surround the five people you surround yourself with the most. I kind of took that in a different context, which we took very seriously at the time, of you and I putting ourselves in the place of the people that were really at the top and doing it the best, and sitting at the feet of giants, I called it in that season, of like, oh, how can we get ourselves in environments of people that like are way have knocked it out of the park and, you know, broke records and done great things. People are at the place that we want to be. While I still felt that was true, we so valued that in that season, and probably in the time didn't value enough how much it was having that running partner, having this someone that you could be in those vulnerable spaces with. of not just people you looked up to, but people who I think this will be a circle of thing. I'm like, oh, I don't want to miss that story. This will all just be a circle. But anyway, like,
the people, I always felt like I was never too much for you. You know, like I think underestimating the importance of like finding your people that you're never like too much for. Cause I think when you are a high achiever, right? Like we're high achievers. We love learning. We love growing. Like we're always absorbing new information. And I think at times that can be a lot for the wrong people. Right.
Yes. I love that. Never too much. Yeah. It is too much for the wrong people. And I think I know I shared this with you recently. We'll kind of keep going through our story, but of the people in your green room, and you have always been this of that you're not too much for. That it is a safe space to win and win and win, and safe space to tell people your big audacious goals, and be authentic in that, and not seem like. That they're ego driven and I'm trying to be like something awesome that, you know, that it might seem to the outside world that it's okay to share your big goals with, and a person that, would I say that is a safe space to be vulnerable, say that you're a mess, say that you're not okay. Have bathroom floor moments of crying and mess. Have incredible breakthroughs. Of things, but then a person that does see your blind spots, that sees the things that you maybe don't do as well or don't see in yourself and can call them out. And you've done that in a great way for me through all the different seasons, given me a lot of patience and grace in it, but like called out the things of like, what the heck are you doing?
I think that for me is the hardest. That's probably my favorite thing of all the billions of things that I love about you. I think my favorite thing is that one part of me is that like I can't not say what I see in people, especially if it's spiraling. And even no matter how tough it was, you're always somebody that you'll always take it in for consideration and you'll at least hold it. Like maybe in that moment, you know, you're not ready to go, you know, whatever, but you'll always take it in. Like you always have space for that, you know, because you're always open to having a conversation about an area of a blind spot or an area of growth, which is what I love because it's like we can have that back and forth conversation together, right?
Yes.
About helping each other elevate like our energy and our frequency and our life in general.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. And, you know, I've become more, I say, I was like, I was a lot for a while. I mean, I was going through it. I don't know, season in one of the seasons, I was like, no, I don't want to hear it. I know all that's wrong with me. And I don't want to hear it. I was definitely just this achiever with blinders on. For so long. And I think, you know, we both were. But like you said, I put it somewhere in the back of my head.
For a time. You filed it away. You kept it.
I kept it. Okay, so that Mary Kay season, Cadillacs, weddings. Mm-hmm. I don't know, tell me about something in that season, because we're going to keep going through seasons of our life, but in that season for you of winning and achieving and any more you have to say about that or one of the most courageous decisions you had to make or fears you had to face in that season.
Yeah.
Season together.
Yeah. I definitely in that season that we were in that season specifically where the most courageous thing that I personally think still to this day that I ever did with my life was making the decision to, you know, leave my tiny town in Iowa and move to Dallas, Texas, which if you grow up in a tiny Midwest town where everybody lives there and your family stays there and you're a farming family and like nobody ever leaves, and then to uproot yourself and literally move across the country. Right. And my thing was I told you and I told my parents. And then obviously, you know, I told my now husband, because I wanted him to go. but I think that it was, you know, looking back, I can see how vital it was to have you in my life in that season, because you were someone that, you know, you just really taught me to trust myself. And that if that's what I felt like I needed to do to get my next greatest win, to step into that next greatest version of myself, then why wouldn't I do it? And that was the most courageous, life-changing thing. I mean, the things, the growth, the perspective in myself, in my business, my friendships, my life, my marriage, that's come from the fact that I completely plucked myself out of everything familiar, you know, in a town with like 5 stoplights to Dallas, Texas, where it's like roads on top of roads and bridges on top of bridges. And to go to that and to have you in that season to just say, like, if you feel like this is what you're supposed to do, you just need to, you know, trust yourself and make that leap. And then moving there and not knowing a single soul that lived there, but having you as a power partner meant that I never had to feel alone, even though kind of technically I was.
That was a huge thing. I mean, I thought that would be your most courageous decision, because you guys can't imagine it's like, oh, a decision to move. But like you said, I mean, from small town where our entire family was and had a life and everything there, to just say, I'm moving to the unknown with no promises.
Knowing no one.
You just moved to nothing. Like, here I'm going. I'm starting over with nothing. No one, nothing, anything. Yeah. I'm moving my life just because I believe, and I have this feeling in my gut of that's what I need for growth. And I saw a tremendous growth in you of it's when we face our fears and we put ourselves sort of by ourselves. And that's what you did. Like, you had to evolve. You had to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the only choice. And really, you know, like, you were the only person that I really didn't talk to. I mean, I like talked to you, Kobe, and Jesus in that season. And I just ran. And I think that's why, you know, it was like one of the most fun, greatest, explosive seasons, was because I really did have the blinders on, and I didn't ever allow myself to tell anyone what I was doing that might potentially try and plant a seed of doubt.
That's so key.
Didn't tell them. I kind of was like, it's just not their business. Like, unless you're going to support me, if I think there might even be 1 ounce of doubt that they might have, you don't get to know what I'm doing. I'm just going to do it. Because yes. I knew, and you supported me in that. And that was all that I needed.
That is really important in that season. And so many of the seasons in my life that I talk about, that like that you have to guard, not only guard telling your dreams, guard telling stuff to people, mm-hmm. because they don't understand. And there are seasons of isolation mm-hmm. where you've just got to keep it that way. And I've been through seasons more recently like that, where I was just like, that's it. It was you and me of like, I can't tell anyone about this because they think I'm crazy. And I can't explain why I need, you know, like, these are the things that I need to do and I need to just focus on. And like you said, there's so many times where you let the voices of everyone else everyone lets the voice of someone mm-hmm. just get in there and question what you're really doing. So
yeah. That was the season where I learned that, you know, a confident person has no need to validate themselves.
Oh my gosh. That is
that season that came out of. A confident person has no need to validate themselves. And I am very confident in my decision. I don't have to validate myself to you and explain why I'm doing anything.
A confident person has no need to validate themselves. Someone write that down. So that is the chapter I am listening to. And this is another thing Chelsea and I have shared over the year. We are constantly sharing. we are listening to books for sure. Like, we are constantly like books back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And different thing. Like, I'm doing this. Oh my gosh, I'm going to do that. I mean, there's so many. That's been one of the things through the years of like, oh.
Voracious reading is an understatement.
That's working. But yes. So anyway, Jay Shetty's new book, Love. It has a title. But that's the chapter I'm reading right now, is how much like different patterns of our past determine the validation that we need in the areas that we need validation. And the biggest thing you can do is, yes, work on your confidence. He talks about that so that you don't need validation. But it's interesting. I highly recommend it because we don't realize all the places that we need validation. Like, we might not have needed validation in our goals. And like, I didn't need that. I think we were both in a great season of like, I don't need anyone to tell me about validation professionally. But there are other ways than I needed validation. Yeah. I'm right.
Like acceptance and.
Yeah. Of different areas. Okay. So that was this season. And then big decision to move to Dallas. So that was the first one, breaking away. But then you listened to your heart again.
Yeah.
And moved again.
Yeah. So I feel like I feel like I ran away from Iowa, right? Like, I was just moving to Dallas because I was just like running away from everything that was, for me, mundane and the same. Like, I needed to break away from that and figure out, completely separate from all that I've always known, who really do I be? Like, who am I really? Like, what do I love? What's my, like, I hate to say, like, even kind of like, what's my personality? Like, you know, finding I'm more of an introvert, finding like I can have a lot of fun, but I am definitely not the life of the party. Like, I like staying home, and I like, you know, finding that out about myself. And so once I feel like I'm, you know, ran away from Iowa, I lived in Dallas. I've lived there for 6 years. And while I lived there, I really uncovered like my true identity and who I am as a person, and what do I love, and what makes me happy, and what brings me joy. And, you know, what I found with that was I started traveling to Arizona at first for work. Like, I had some people in my organization here, so I was like naturally traveling to Arizona just to work with those people. And then I was involved in the Townsend Leadership Program, where I was walking in and I was coming here every single month. And I was just, you know, learning and growing about leadership stuff. And every single month I say I would come here and I would get on that plane to fly back home to Dallas. And I would like end up leaving a little bit more of my heart here every single month. And, you know, what my husband and I found, that one of our top five core values is a very healthy recreational lifestyle. And Dallas just wasn't doing it for us. You know, like, if you want to go hike, there's like a cement path. It's like a little loop with these little trees, and it's like a mile, and you can just keep walking the cement loop. And so, you know, we fell in love with the people of Arizona, the relaxed culture of Arizona, the recreational culture of Arizona. And so, yeah, we ran away from Iowa, but then we completely ran to a suburb of Phoenix and love it, you know, because it's, I mean, I live 12 minutes from a trailhead that's just one of the most beautiful trailheads, where in a 12-minute drive, I can feel like I'm out in the middle of nowhere in the desert, experiencing all the wildlife, and it's so peaceful and so quiet. I love it, which is very different than 8 million people in the heart of Dallas.
Yeah. And so you followed your heart again, and you just picked up, moved, started in October.
Again, didn't tell people, because that worked really well for me the first time. I don't really tell people when I'm going to do big things, because I don't care what they have to say, because I trust myself.
Yeah. But yeah, did it again. And thank goodness for a career. Thank goodness. I mean, that Mary Kay was a career that means you can move and follow your heart, follow your passions, and do all that. So, that was wonderful. So the season of us, and then I'll let you tell about anything more. I'll take a gap of like anything more you want to share. Oh, then I should do a commercial break. I wonder if my commercials work. I'm going to tell the story of us, and then give you a second to think if there's anything you want to share about that season in Mary Kay before we revisit our newer season. So So in the season that we were together in Dallas, in the season I was in Mary Kay, that we were in Mary Kay together 7, 8 years, three pink Cadillacs. I was like, we saw each other all the time. I mean, we were traveling across the country to conventions together. We talked every day. We were absolutely running together. And then I was in beginning the disaster, I guess, of my second disaster, and just wasn't in a place that I wasn't in a good place. It wasn't in a place I was supported really in Mary Kay. It wasn't really an option of what I was doing with my marriage at the time and things. And so I left Mary Kay to do some other things, and everything happens for a reason, but we still stayed close. I remember when I was, you know, in the middle of the disaster moving, Chelsea just drove through the night to be with me and move me out of my house and it was a disaster. And then
really good at moving.
And we stayed friends in contact. Naturally, things drift apart, I think, when we're no longer in the daily activity, right? We were no longer doing the same thing. And then I entered an even worse season that I just really wasn't dealing with anything. Like, I entered a bad, like, I did not like my life or myself or anything. And so then we would talk occasionally, but I hadn't seen you in a long time.
Yeah, it would be like I would randomly come to Omaha, you know, like once a fall for a conference. And usually it was there. And so then, you know, we usually see each other for like 2 hours every October.
Yeah. Once a year. Yeah. And then we'll tell the story of reconnecting in the last couple of years. I mean, we were connected in Facebook and we would message and check in with each other, but I was definitely in this season of closed off and not facing my life.
I mean, you were just trying to survive too. Right?
Survival. Yeah. I'm going to let you share about anything you want in that chapter of life and courage after I make an attempt to make a commercial break. And those of you on Facebook, you don't hear the commercial, unfortunately. We're not sure. Okay, we're back. We're back after commercial. We don't have any music intro, but we're back after commercial. Those of you that are watching on Facebook, ask us questions. Here's your chance to ask us questions. So, I love Hildy is sending us comments. Don't worry, Hildy, we're gonna talk about you. And she said, it's funny that I looked like, yes, I was looking like I was on my phone at the beginning and looking down. I love the honesty of my children and their feedback and making the show better. I was like, I'm trying to run a show and figure out how to put us live on the Facebook group and the radio and obviously fail at the music and tell somebody I need help with the music and all the things. So that's what I was doing, not paying attention to Chelsea. I need a producer.
Position open.
I'm really good at getting other people to do other things and obviously have not farmed that out. Anyway, so I feel like we've talked about this Mary Kay season together so quickly. Like, anything else you want to share about your season in the life of that, lessons that you've learned, courage, fears, failures, or anything we missed of us in that season?
Yeah. It was so fast. I think that's the craziest thing, is actually to think back and realize, you know, I feel like there were three, like we've had three main seasons, right? Like the season where we were just doing every single, like we were doing the same thing. We were on the same path. We were achieving the same things. And then there was a season where I was like off just growing and healing. I honestly wasn't even worried about achieving. You were busy just trying to survive. You know, you had a lot going on. I remember there was a day in that, you know, season two, right? We're in season three now, where I had a conversation with my mom about, like, I couldn't figure out like why I couldn't really get myself to go back after anything anymore. And that's when, you know, we started talking. My mom's like, honestly, like, you haven't been able to make yourself achieve since you haven't been with Ange. She's like, I just think that you miss y'all achieving together. She's like, I think you loved achieving together more than you loved the actual achieving. you know. And so in that season, it was like the biggest thing that I had to learn in that season was I learned about myself that I don't really care to achieve anything for myself. I love achieving with others and for the sake of others.
I love that.
Like the absence of our power partner, you know, that's the absence of that, like in that middle season, was like a lesson in itself.
It is. And that's something, and I had to learn that too, of what else we can put maybe more in. I've learned it more in this season of, why you achieve, what motivates you to achieve. And I didn't necessarily, I had to learn a lesson of like,
yeah,
I didn't want it for myself. I would want it if it involved somebody else and us doing it together. I mean, we just talked about that right before we got on this. See that power part. That's what I want. I just thought the picture of power partner was different.
Oh my gosh. I can see how you were like, geez. Yeah.
You guys were all like, what are you talking about? I don't know. We'll see if we get there. But I've never had this. I wouldn't call it what it is. Of like power. I have obviously in a season of being single. That's no what I mean. Everyone knows that. Can read the book and read about my seasons, and then see my healing and stuff after that. And what I desired again now. Chelsea and I are having a revelation. I really wanted the power partner thing again. Didn't cause that word. And so I said, I was back in a season of success in the business that I'm in and in the book and doing all of it, but I didn't want to do it alone. Like I had this,
to not want to do it alone, but it's like realizing that.
Yeah. And wanting this like power couple image of doing it together and people that I saw that I wanted, that's the picture that I thought I wanted it to look like. But you guys are seeing real conversation and revelation that I'm now realizing. I think I wanted that so much because I also missed the season of us. The picture didn't have to look like doing it with a romantic partner. But I didn't love just the spotlight by myself. I wanted to achieve it and experience it with someone else. And we did.
That's why you would like nobody like comes up alongside someone and runs with them and helps explode their success the way you do. And I think that's because more than anything, you love helping other people succeed. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that's really in that season where we were in Mary Kay, that's really what you were doing is your wagon was hitched to someone. They had a goal, they had a dream, and they had a vision. And you were like, I am going to do whatever it takes to help their dream, goal, and vision come to life. And then that's like what you do. That is your sweet spot, your strength. It's like your magic that you're so great at.
That is what I loved most about Mary Kay, of being in that with you, but then all the people in the team that I was leading of like, yes, coming alongside. Mm-hmm. And I just posted, so I'm going to post it again in my thing. My love language is helping other people win.
Absolutely.
And it was somebody else's post. So I just reshared it. Yeah. But
you refuse to let people quit on themselves.
Yeah. Well, thank you. So do you. You refuse to let me quit on myself. That was a whole thing I didn't, but yeah, it went so fast and yet so short, and you were totally involved in, like if we said the kids were, we did talk about you, Hildy, that you guys were seven and
really got the big room. I remember when I came one time to help y'all move, Hildy got the
big room. Every time we moved into all kinds of different rentals, and every time Hildy got the big room. Every time Hildy got the master.
Hildy got the big room. And then Hildy got the big room.
The show involved
A
lot of the story and the growing and evolving and the maturing of the kids and me trying to navigate being a parent through that. And, even though I was mostly the parent that they knew of, like, I was not doing it well. I mean, kind of, but like, man, because I was so broken and hadn't yet chose to heal, it was a lot. She dealt with a lot of Hildy and eating Parmesan. And we used to eat Parmesan cheese and olives off of paper plates
in the basement.
It was the awesome charcuterie I make now. Chelsea's like, really?
I know. I do like to tease her every time she makes a really great food presentation for somebody. Because I'm like, I ate that off a paper plate, dumped out of a jar, but that's fine. Y'all can, no, I'm just kidding. So really, we had three seasons. So it's like, we had the season where we really ran together in Mary Kay. And then we had the season where it's like, I'm like in this deep healing, growing season. And you're just trying to survive with the kids and, you know, make sure they stay alive and like graduate and stuff. And then, you know, we entered into what's like now the, you know, kind of like third/current season where you were coming to Arizona on business. And then also Hildy was looking at moving to Arizona to go to college here. And so that really like reconnected, re-strengthened, I think, our friendship at, you know, a new level. But I think what's crazy is how, you know, they say people can come in and out of your life for like season, reason, lifetime, whatever. And how, you know, it's like we were brought together and then we went off and did our own thing in our own healing in our seasons. And then we came, you know, and then to come back together, both of us, while we were off doing our own thing, like elevating our energy and still then re-coming back together.
And the re-coming back together has a great story too. The first time had a great story in an elevator and then getting coffee and her saying best, you know. And then, like she said, the second season had just as big of like an, or third season, just as big of an explosion. So like you said, I was in Phoenix on business last minute. And I had gotten
like, hey, let's go for a hike. And she was really unprepared.
Oh, I was very unprepared. I didn't even tell her I was coming because I was so just in the season of survival and went last minute. And I just felt called to reach out to you, like, oh, my gosh, do you live here? And yeah, I went on a hike completely unprepared in tennis shoes and a big
tennis hike. Shoes holding a water bottle in Arizona. If you've never been to Arizona, you don't do that. That is not being prepared. But we
ended up getting to spend the weekend with you. We went on a hike, you went to dinner, and it just was like, we just like instantly
picked up where we left off.
I knew then, yeah, Hildy was, starting her journey of looking at going to school down there. And you just knew, like, you're like, it's time to get out of this. You are getting back out of survival mode. Cause I wasn't necessarily indifferent. I still sitting here in survival mode. And Chelsea told me.
Yeah. Yeah. You were. Yeah.
Every day you shoved down my throat, the book, Illusion of Money, every single day.
I'm persistent. Pleasantly persistent. Again,
pleasantly persistent. Have you read it? And finally, and you just were like, I need to scroll back and listen. I mean, you were like, put down, like, stop what you're doing and start the book tomorrow. And so I did.
I think you like took the day off or something, and you were like,
so I started listening. So I usually listen to books when I'm at the gym, working out in the morning. When I do weights, I listen to the book. So I started listening and I just felt called in and I just took the rest of the day and listened to the book all day. And then this is the introduction story of the book. Well, and then so I listened to that and was just in this place of like, what am I doing with my life?
I wondered the same thing, guys. I literally, like, I don't know where my powerful, courageous friend who runs the world went, but like,
I had that reality check. And like I said, reintroduction story of the book, started on a new path. I had met James Mansky then that day, figured out that I was writing the book. That little 5 wishes fell off my shelf. I realized I hadn't done anything that I said I was going to do with my life in the last 15 years. Crisis. But Chelsea was like a huge part of that, like was right there. I mean, she's dying of laughter at like, My life and brain was changing like 24 hours to 24 hours. And you're like, oh, God. I mean, then, you know, 2 days later, quit my job, no plan. You weren't like, what are you going to do? And I didn't tell anyone else. Like, I didn't tell, you're just like, I'm sure you'll figure it out.
Yeah, you're you. I'm unconcerned.
I was in that scene.
Coming along for turbulent times is like a guide for her. That's what I do.
Like not telling anyone. Yeah. So restarting. And then we did the conference together. We did, which was back in our jam mode. So we did the 10X growth conference virtually together. And it just, we just, again, we're immediately like, you were like, yes. And so we spent 3 days doing a virtual conference together. And it was like, we were back at a leadership conference just all day. Getting poured into, and then it was just, and then Hildy went to, so that was spring, and just back, and then Hildy decided to go to school in Arizona at Grand Canyon University, and Chelsea took her on. She was her mom in Arizona. So then we went down again, moved Hildy in. I spent some time with Chelsea. Stayed some extra time, and that was a huge chapter of you taking on Hildy and being her mom.
It was very fun. She can move back. We'll take her. Arizona.
That was the beginning of the season. So you had talked about, like, you had already worked you had invested, like you said, in a season.
I pretty much took like 7 years off to just grow and heal and grow. I think I thought for like a 2 year period, I was like, am I ever going to stop crying? Or are we just going to cry here, right here for the rest of my life? But it eventually, you know, when you start healing, if you decide to dip your toes into the healing world and heal all your trauma and all your things. And if you ever ask yourself one day, like, oh my gosh, am I just going to cry for the rest of my life? Is this ever going to stop? It will eventually stop. Just depends on how long you've been holding it off.
That's a good.
So, yeah. So that's what I'd been. She was like, you know, raising children. I was just crying and healing and growing.
So season three started with just like instant reconnection, run, yeah. Conference together. We start running and supporting each other again together. But you had been through healing and I had not. I had not yet decided to take a look at myself. And so I think you were here that summer. We saw a lot of each other. You came that summer.
I saw you in January, then I saw you in July, and then I saw you like a few weeks or September.
Yeah.
And then I saw you again in October.
Yeah, so we got to do a lot. But I remember when I was there in September, then it was the first time like, okay, you got back out of the gutter to run, and you're like, you gotta
run.
Some work. No.
Oh, when we sat in the pool for days in a row. Yeah. Sometimes it's tough to be my friend. I do get that.
No, it wasn't tough. I needed somebody to be like, Ange, like, you're going to break some people if you don't, like, unbreak yourself. That's not how you put it.
She was with me for, like, a week, so I had time for it to, like, build up and continuously, like, drop, you know, bombs of, like, so, let's talk about this.
What about your patterns? What about your thoughts? What about, and I, at the time, was not ready to, I wasn't ready.
But you weren't saying no to it. That's the thing, is like, you never, that's what I love about you, is even in that season where, like, I was putting all these things at you that I was seeing, you never went into like defense mode. You just like held them. And I think that's a huge difference, right? Like, I think that when you give someone permission in your life to speak into blind spots that you have, which we have permission in each other's lives to do that. When you give each other that permission, you know, I think on my part is I always came to her bringing it to her with like love and compassion, right? Like, I was never like, you need to fix this and you're doing this and you're doing that. And I told you so. And this is how it should be. And why are you even doing that? So I never, first of all, guys, like, let's be, if you're talking into someone's blind spots, like, that's never the delivery that I had. You know, it was always like,
no, it was very passionate. And in a place of deep conversation, like you said, that we've been intimate space.
Never accusatory. Like, I was never accusing you, but it was very conversational that we were bringing these things about. And then you never went towards the victim. You never went towards excuses. You never got defensive. You always just, you would just hold it and kind of, you know, marinate. And over the a few days' time, like, we would unpack it a little bit more. Yeah.
So, yeah. I gently was unpacking it, but kind of wasn't open to looking at that. But you very much like brought that. And I, like I said, I think, you know, God, the universe brings things at the right time. So in September and October, you know, you were gently whispering to me healing and things I needed to work on and making me see that, like, okay, I have things I need to address.
Just cycles and patterns, awareness of cycles and patterns. But I never told you this is what you're doing. I just asked you questions about, like, have you ever thought about why? Have you ever considered?
And bringing it to me in a way of, like, not about how I was affecting other people or how
my behavior. I never wanted to, like, make you think that you were bad.
No. But do you want to feel better? Like, do you want to? Also showing me a great example of what healing looked like and what doing the work looks like. I think that's the most important part. Like, you had done so much work on your own healing and showed me the example and the light of what healing looks like.
Because it wasn't a time that had gone by. Like, you were in my life and then, like, you weren't physically around me for for years, and then to come back in.
So Chelsea had spent a ton of time on that. Like I said, universe appoints things. We spend time together in September and October. And then I suddenly had an opportunity, not suddenly, on purpose, had an opportunity to be do healing experiences and really enter the space of really deeply investing in it. And you'd spent years, I kind of just dove myself right into deep.
I'm like, let me dip my toes in, start at the shallow end of the pool and slowly swim to the end. And just like, I'm running off the diving board and like, let's go all in. Okay. Oh my God. Okay. Here we go.
And you're like, this is
just like, and I'm like, the water's kind of cold. Maybe we should wait for it to warm up. And just like, I'm already in the Olympic size depth pool diving pool at the bottom.
But you prepare me. So I was so ready, and I did feel like I was ready and deeply invested in that over the last, a little over a year, like really, invested in that for myself and dove deep. And you led that you knew I was, able to have some opportunities and experiences. You were the one that led the conversation with me of what my intention was and maybe what was at the root of the patterns, and what I needed to see. And then we're very patient and excited. And I think the third season's the best, as like you continue to work on growth and I continue to work on growth and really worked on some deep healing of then both being able to be in a space of like, oh my gosh, who are those women from 15 years ago?
Other than the fact that our jewelry was terrible.
You guys, our jewelry was, why didn't we wear that stuff?
I don't know. So when y'all look back at the video montage, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Like, I understand that had to be in because we had to be able to buy it somewhere. But like, I don't know why we were all wearing such big, chunky, colorful jewelry. Like, let's not ever do that again.
We're talking for a while longer, but Facebook group, if you have any questions, make sure and post and ask us. This is your chance.
Yeah.
We've had a deep dive into lots of stuff, so it's your chance to ask us any questions. But you got to see, and I'm sure as it gradually happened, like, oh, hi, welcome. Welcome to new version. We were trying to...
not wear giant jewelry.
And it's then been fun to be so authentic. I mean, every season was fun. The winning was fun. The diving back in and the conference was fun. But like being able to so to so authentically and deeply, like, both be in the healing space, and then the vulnerability and power partner part of it is just so much better.
Yeah. I mean, we're now in a season of life where we are, you know, winning for the sake of the calling that's on our life, as opposed to, like, winning for the sake of approval, which is so much more fun. Right. I mean, so worth the growth and the tears and all of it.
The growth and the tears.
Yeah, worth it. Yeah.
Worth it. And it takes, I hate to say, so much less communication. But kind of when you're then in this, yes. Like, you and I can connect over a text. I can send you something, and it's, yeah, it's like you have this level of mind reading. That, I mean,
yeah, but yes,
like, you know, like, you know, like, you know, like, you can send a picture and know exactly what's going through my head, exactly what thought something can happen, and you would know my instant reaction.
Yeah. Yeah. Or Hildy can send me a photo. And I know that.
I was like, I do love.
We have a very unoffendable relationship, though.
Yes. A what?
There's an unoffendable relationship. Like, the spirit of offense doesn't exist in our relationship. You know what I mean? We can. Yes. Yeah.
An unoffendable relationship. And that's the other green room of, like, I am so safe, and this is so important. Like, if you guys take something away from this, like, the seasons of power partners, but a green room person that is so safe that, you know, it's the level of unconditional love that, you know, like, you can't do anything to screw this up. Now, obviously, like, some vindictive fit, but you so believe in the other person's intentions that if something is set, like, you never judge that what's said or what action, because you're like, what happened to you?
Yeah, I would never filter anything that you say. I would never put anything you say through the filter of, like, you would be saying something against me. I would more wonder, whoa, what's going on?
Yeah.
I wouldn't even, I guess I wouldn't even, yeah, so unoffendable. Like, which I think is vital, like, in the conversation of, like, if somebody's out there and they're going, like, oh my gosh, like, I want this, like, I need this type of relationship in my life, I need this friendship, I need this power partner, I do think that if you're going to find one common thread that would cause a power partner relationship to be successful over a span of longer than a decade, here we are, right, your kids were, like, little kids and now they're adults, is carrying that spirit of being unoffendable. And knowing that no matter whatever they say, that it's more about what's, if it's, even if the comment would seem hurtful, it's more about, like, what's going on with them, not about, like, it's just not about you.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that that would be the most important thing to look for in a power partner relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. Unoffendable. Yeah. I like that. That's one of the most important parts. Unoffendable, the ability to be able to have that, given the person permission to call out your blind spot.
After you know that it's okay, don't go running around giving everybody permission. Not everybody deserves that.
Yeah, it is the space to grow. Like, hey, I'm going to totally change and I'm going to do this. And you are that safe space for that. But I love that you do challenge me of things. Mm-hmm. That, and I hope I do that for you, of, like, no, I set a goal too. So, and I'm like, oh, I'm not going to do that because it's hard. And you're like, wait a second.
I don't tell y'all, I do not tell her things if I do not want to be forced into doing them. If I've already decided, like, I want to be forced into achieving this goal, I'm not going to tell her, because once those words leave my lips, like, I mean, the whole world's going to know. She might show up on my front doorstep. Something's definitely going to go in the mail. Like, there is. Yeah. Now my husband's sitting over here behind me, and he's probably like, if she starts telling me goals, I'm just going to text Ange so then Ange can harass
me. Yes, absolutely. That's something you want, Kobe, then just.
She said she's going to do this. Can you do that thing where you make her do it?
Yes. Absolutely, I can. One thing that you've gotten to witness too that I think is the most, to me, is one of the most remarkable parts of healing is how you've seen a change in my relationship with my kids. Mm-hmm. A huge change in my relationship with my kids and
beautiful
their behavior. That, like, the concept of healing generational trauma of the, you will say, I mean, yes, I mean, it's only been a year since Hildy was there and the vast change in her and who she is and our relationship.
Yeah. It's admirable.
Only because without throwing Hildy under the bus.
Well, she was just being a normal teenager.
She was a normal, she was probably a normal 19-year-old. But my relationship, and you can see that now, my relationship with my kids now, I mean, Hildy is this, not that you weren't phenomenal, Hildy, but in a year, I feel like my Hildy, my healing has given her permission to have this sort of relationship that I have with you, a version of it with her, that she feels vulnerable and safe and not having to earn anything. And so, like, my relationship with my kids.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that when you started reacting, it's when you started responding to her instead of reacting to her, it made a giant energy shift between the two of you and it changed everything. But I remember that my mom and I, you know, like one of you has to make a decision to, you know, stop reacting and to start responding. And you did.
Oh, I think that was because of healing. And then I think, like, how many other people in my life? We're always reacting. We're always, you don't realize that. We're going to tell you that on the other side of really taking a deep dive and looking at yourself. And we mean a deep dive. Like, we will both say, and that, and I said that to you, that the choosing to really deeply heal and do the work to do so, like I said this, Moose said this, like the pain of healing is sometimes so much worse than the pain of trauma that you experienced. And I will agree. And we used to talk about our feelings. Mm-hmm. How does this achievement make you feel? How did it make you feel?
Like, why am I doing that? What am I actually seeking from this achievement? And will this actually make me, will this actually fill that void? You know, we didn't talk about that.
Yeah, we didn't talk about any of that. And so you swallow it all down and then it's living there somewhere inside you and causing you to react instead of respond, because everything is a trigger based on all of your unmet validations and unmet feelings and unmet things that we will both agree. I agree. I mean, more than ever that, like, I don't blame anyone else for anything or the trauma or the hurt or, like, I don't blame anyone for that. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't forgave myself too. Like, I was doing the best I could in the moment. But it's being able to, put all of that away. Like, I did make the decisions to put myself in environments that weren't good. And I put my kids in, like, me, responding. Did all kinds of hurt to them too. But but there is an opportunity to be on the other side, like we said. There's a deep peace and amazingness on the other side of doing the work. So that's probably the best when I say all the things that you did for me of, like, coming alongside, cheering and power partner, and being unoffendable. It is really leaning in at the right moment to introduce me to healing and being a shining example of what that looks like.
Repeat that. It's been fun.
It has been fun. Like I said, this is the best season. Now I'm like, now we're just gonna, no, it's constant work. But now I'm like, gosh, this is the season of the real wins and fun stuff, and I can't wait to see what happens.
Yeah.
I feel like I had a list of questions that I was going to ask you questions of, and we just talked about us
Next time we'll do questions. We'll just do it.
I was like, what? Okay. You told us about the most courageous thing. What is a couple more things? We are total book people. So you should follow Chelsea and like all of her book recommendations and all of the things that she does. We'll put those in the show notes because I get all my books and things to listen to.
I'm always posting them on Instagram. If you want to know something to read, I'm always posting a new book on Instagram.
And you also have a really cute puppy that you will enjoy by following.
She's so cute.
So I said I was going to ask you this, if you have it, answer, what is one thing you've learned in the last year, a couple years, that has changed your perspective and as a result changed your business or your life?
Yeah. So in the last, this has not been the last year, but last several years, and I feel like it's continuing to unfold. Like I did do about, I think 6 years ago now, I learned about what's called the Enneagram. It's not really a personality thing. It's more of like an internal needs-based driver thing. But what I learned from that was really, it taught me more than anything else that ever taught me in my life, how people are experiencing me, like me as that specific type of person. I'm an Enneagram 8, I guess. I'll tell you that in case somebody's watching. They're like, what are you? And anyways, like, you know, the eights in your life, because they are very strong. We have like the most energy and, you know, learning how people like my husband, who is the, couldn't be more opposite than me in that typing situation, learning how people experience me. And then also learning about them and what causes them to maybe not be like me. And, you know, I trust my gut. I quickly make decisions. I'm in or I'm out. I would say I love people, or I kind of like forget they exist. It's so bad to say that, but it is really true. Like I kind of just forget, like I know who belongs in my life and I'm okay with the people that when people don't, you know, I just like move on. I don't think anything of it. And so that helped me learn a lot about myself. And then I think in the last year, though, I more than ever have really given myself permission to just work in a way that's best for me, live in a way that's best for me. And I am super introverted, and which is kind of crazy in my job where I work with people, right? And I think a lot of people like to tell you how your career should look and how your activity should look and how your life should look. And in the last year, just giving myself permission to really actually design my day and my life in the way that's best for me and my husband and what brings us joy and gives us joy and what makes us feel the most peaceful, that we get to wake up every single day and love all of the little things in our life and not be, I'm no longer chasing joy, just experiencing it and getting to enjoy the sweetness every day.
I love that. And I loved seeing and watching you just like embrace that, like you said, owning that, like it doesn't have to look like someone else's picture.
Yeah. And it's just not going to. Yeah, or if it does, you're not going to feel, I chased fulfillment for a really long time. And then just one day realized I already had it.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
But it takes a lot, and you've learned that. I think one, the awareness that the picture doesn't have to look like what we think everyone else does. But then, like you said, learning, like, who am I? What do I like? What does make me like, what are the things, if it doesn't need to look like this picture, because that's what we've been taught. Like everything has a picture that it's supposed to be designed and look like. This is what the perfect workday is. This is it. And if we figure out it doesn't have to be that, what is it that makes me happy?
Yeah.
What does a day look like that makes me happy? What does a, like, yes, being an introvert and being alone and re-upping yourself alone, like, that's not easy to figure out. You figured it out, but, like, that's not easy to just design, I think, to figure out what you want the design to look like. So, but it's been fun watching you do it. Okay, you are a huge, I don't expect you to pick one, but you are like a huge. You
might die.
Health? Okay, well, if it does, then she's gone.
No, if it dies, guys, then I'm just gone. But otherwise, I will talk until it's death. We are having a huge windstorm in Arizona, and we are having a tumbleweed issue. So it was like, I just couldn't get home.
She couldn't get all the way. She's with us, and we're 10 minutes over, but you are the biggest, like, I watch, I see all the things. I'm like, oh, you do that. I got to do that. So if you have like leading yourself well, lead yourself well, you're constantly like doing things to lead yourself well. But if there are some rituals in your life, this is your parting wisdom, rituals that you've incorporated in your life that you believe are key to leading yourself well.
Yeah. I would say the one thing that has changed everything, because there's a lot of things, right? Like I take the right supplements, I eat the right food, I use the right everything for my body. But I think that the thing that was the catalyst to changing it all was 4.5 years ago, I made a decision that every single day I was going to wake up every single morning, I was going to put on really powerful music, like meditation music. And I was going to write out 10 things that I was grateful for. And I was just going to journal my thoughts out. And I started that 4.5 years ago. And I can say there's a lot of things that have changed. There's a lot of other things that I've implemented since then. But that's really where it started, was taking 15 minutes every single morning, no matter, even if I had to catch a 5 a.m. flight, I would take that 15 minutes. I'd make sure I had woke up early enough for it. And, you know, writing out those 10 reasons that I was grateful, and then just journaling out my thoughts for the day. And because I think that when you can get yourself to a place of being emotionally stable and healthy, you're really, really driven to be physically healthy. But right, like our emotions need to get there first, and then that causes us to want our physical health to also be there. And then that part's easy.
And then the piggyback to, I love that that is your ritual, because I've gotten in and out of that, and in seasons I'm trying to hide from myself, I definitely don't do that, but it is my most sacred time now too, is music and journaling, and yeah, the gratitudes and excitement out in my journal. So I love that you said that. And the physically healthy, you're right. Because if you're not emotionally healthy, then you are, one, it's one of the biggest toxins in your body, all the cortisol and everything. Like you can be doing all the rest of the stuff and your body is still messed up. But second, you can be doing those routines, but you're going to sabotage them with numbing something that's going to mess you up physically because you haven't emotionally healed.
Yeah.
So it's French fries.
Right? Like it's not are you, how are you? Always. How?
It is always how are you numbing?
Yeah, I know. Right. My numb of choice is Netflix. Always. It's always Netflix for me. I just want to shut my brain off. I don't want to think, and I don't want to hear my own thoughts.
Oddly, I'm not an emotional, it's it's not, if you are, it's funny you say that, because my biggest numbing in that season right before I met you, and I still go back into it, is walking. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go for a walk and clear my mind, or I'll just avoid everything in the world by choosing a thing. Going for a walk is a great idea.
But it seems healthy. But it's really avoidant. It's avoidant.
It's avoiding. It's just,
I mean, I would work on graphic projects while I was doing Netflix, so it seemed productive, but it was It's not.
So you guys, I could have Chelsea in here. Obviously we could talk about, like, I can't believe the hour went up, but like, yeah, over a decade, and an example of, I hope you've learned like how much you need a person like this in your life that is so aligned, that is your biggest cheerleader. I post about this stuff all the time. Okay. The last thing, I am doing a little plug because this is on my desk. So Chelsea and I met in Mary Kay, and even though I am a consultant in her unit now, so even though I'm not the director doing it as a career like she is anymore, people ask me what I use for skincare, and I have always used Mary Kay, and I absolutely love it. And Chelsea has me trying a new skin cycling thing, because there's so many advancements in, like, when do you exfoliate, when do you use retinol, when do you use the boosters, when do you use all the things, and I love that.
All the
skin cycling. Anyway, I think the best skincare anti-aging stuff on the planet. And Chelsea has these awesome little things that she sends you. That's like a whole kit that you can try. So I will stay tuned for that. Yeah. Message me if you want one of those. We'll put her information in. And stay tuned because we're going to do another, not on the radio, but we'll do a fun live thing where we do, Chelsea mails you one of these and we can do some facials together. Tell some more stories. Okay. Awesome. Oh my well, thank goodness. You. I missed Masking the second commercial. So thank you guys so much for being on with us, whether you're on Turf Sub Radio or with us in the Facebook group. We appreciate you being on or listening later on the podcast. I forget that that's an option too. So, and thank you, Chelsea, one of my bestest lifelong friends.
Thank you.
I appreciate you and the difference that you've made in my life. So have a great week, everyone, and we'll see you next week.